The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Writer Files is brought to you by StudioPress, the industry standard for premium WordPress themes and plugins. Built on the Genesis framework, StudioPress delivers state-of-the-art SEO tools, beautiful and fully responsive design, airtight security, instant updates, and much more. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why over 177,000 website owners trust StudioPress. Go to rainmaker.fm/StudioPress right now. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. These are the Writer Files, a tour of the habits, habitats, and brains of working writers. From online content creators to fictionists, journalists, entrepreneurs, and beyond. I'm your host, Calvin Reed, writer, podcaster, and mediaphile. And each week, we'll discover how great writers keep the ink flowing, the cursor moving, and avoid writer's block. Author and entrepreneur hacker Johnny Naster dropped in this week to talk about the transition from podcast to best-selling book and how he helps digital entrepreneurs and creatives find shortcuts to success. Mr. Naster is the author of the bestseller Hack the Entrepreneur, How to Stop Procrastinating, Build a Business, and Do Work That Matters, a book that combines the wisdom of over 200 interviews with successful entrepreneurs from Johnny's hit podcast of the same name. John's own remarkable journey has taken him from punk rock musician to internet entrepreneur, podcaster, educator, author, and a guy who somehow still finds time to be a husband, father, and world traveler in between. Join us for this two-part interview. And if you missed the first half, you can find it at writerfiles.fm and in the show notes. In part two of the file, Johnny and I discuss how to come to terms with procrastination, Johnny's unique definition of creativity for writers and entrepreneurs, the effectiveness of simple sentences, and why you should quit when you're done, not when you're tired. Yeah, I think both successful fictionists and journalists alike and nonfiction writers use meticulous outlining and planning to make it happen. And it sounds like you've got some pretty effective hacks there. It sounds like you're a Mac guy. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So then when you're writing the book, are you getting it all down into Scrivener, or were you getting it down into a different software program?
I wish I was smart enough to use Scrivener, but it's so confusing to me. I strictly 100% write in Byword.
Okay.
I've done that for, I'm going to say, 2 years now. I'm obsessed with Byword. I make it full screen, and it only shows you like the one line you're writing on at a time. I have it set to, and it just focus. It's added, there's a word count at the bottom and nothing else on my page. Yeah. I love it. And then everything from there goes directly into a Google Docs. And then everything's all comments from there.
Nice.
Don't touch my work, just comment on it. And I won't touch your work, just comment on it. And we can accept it or not. And I learned that this is the biggest project I've done with writing. And Google Docs is like, I don't know how you could possibly do it without something like that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like when you're in the flow state, you're working nonstop, and then you kind of like to take longer breaks. It sounds like you kind of lean into procrastination. Am I right?
Yeah. And it's something I've come to terms with, the fact that I procrastinate, and everybody procrastinates, even the quote unquote experts, they do procrastinate. And I've come to terms with, it's okay to procrastinate at times, but you have to just admit that it's happening and don't take it as a defeat. It's just part of the process.
Yeah.
And either work through it or work around it or just ignore it and go for a walk or go to the gym or something.
So how does Johnny Naster unwind at the end of a long day of writing?
Oh, wow. I love to go play drums. I still do that three nights a week or so, which that's like the ultimate, like just, that's my meditation, literally 2 solid hours of not thinking of anything. If I'm thinking of anything while I'm playing drums, I can't play. And so that's like an amazing thing. Other than that, it's, we play a lot of board games like Carcassonne and these new cool independent games that have been created in Europe. So we do a lot of that, hanging out.
Cool, cool. I have to get some of those names from you. Let's dig into creativity. I'd love to kind of pick your brain. Can you yourself define creativity?
Oh, creativity. I think creativity is just finding ways to, I don't know. That's a tough question. Finding ways to, I think, not so much define, but explain life and its elements. In a way that sort of humanizes life, because I don't know if it necessarily is without it. I think it's creativity with art and things that we create out of nothing. I think that that's the whole goal of all of it, is to sort of make life make more sense in some way and make it more human.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's deepest question I've ever been asked. I love it. That was awesome.
Well,
I really need to get a better answer for that, though.
But do entrepreneurs talk about creativity in the same way? I feel like they do, that so much of that kind of DIY ethic that you talk about is creativity. And without it, you know, a lot of the, you yourself and these other very successful entrepreneurs wouldn't probably be as successful as they are without it, right?
Yeah, I think to answer the question, the good entrepreneurs do. Yeah. Definitely. They definitely understand creativity is a huge part of business and just life in general. Like, it's just kind of a part of this creation of something out of nothing. That's all entrepreneurship is, right? Yeah. And I mean, you can't do that without creativity. I think the bad ones are the ones that just want to make money. And they usually are bad, it's not bad because you want to make money. That's part of business, but it's bad because they don't typically do very well. Because they see business as something that it's not. And it's literally just the creation of something out of nothing and hopefully exchanging like monetary value for that.
Well, okay. So in addition to your music, do you have some other creative muses right now?
Right now, my creative muse is, other than my music, no music, the writing, and I'm going to write a novel next November. NaNoWriMo.
Cool.
Yeah, my daughter, who's now 10, she's just finishing up her second one. So she's kind of made me think that I should really do it. It's always something I've read, I mean, thousands of novels probably, and it's always something that I thought I could never do. And now I realize that, no, I could. I just have to actually sit down and do it. But I'm really, really working a lot on my guitar playing right now. But that is my music, so it kind of goes against your question. But my spare time, if I'm not playing drums or something, I'm really sitting down in front of the fire and playing a lot of guitar. My fingers are killing these days, but nice. That's my creative thing right now.
Love it. So what do you think makes a writer great, if you care to tackle that one?
To me, it's all about simplicity of sentences and not trying to sound smart. I've realized that I like short sentences. I like simple sentences. I like short ideas. I like simple ideas. I like short books. I like simple books. Whether that's a novel or whether that's fiction or nonfiction, that's just what I like. That, and I didn't even realize that until actually I read that Stephen King on writing. Mm. And listening to him was just like, wow, yeah, that's, and now it makes sense when I read a book and it's like all, I don't even know what they're called with the L-Y's at the end, the adverbs, I think, or,
yeah.
You know, that he talks about.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at grammar, but it meant I'm so hyper aware of them now. I'm like, yes. And when I pick up a book and I read through the first chapter and it's like, I don't like this writing, then I'm like, oh, Stephen King was right. This is why I don't like this. And I didn't know it. I love simplicity. I'm not a huge fan of like science fiction and stuff. I like just books and writing about life and thoughts. Like Charles Bukowski is, I will never stop reading his books every single year of my life. Mm. It's just, nothing happens, but it's everything happens. It's just what it is. And that's the best. See, I'm such a hard time even admitting that I'm a writer. So It's hard for me to analyze other people's writing.
So I'm sorry to break this to you, John, but you're a writer. Now you have to own it.
Oh man, I so want to. I really do. It's gonna take some getting used to. But I love it, man. It's like it's crazy that I can like get paid to write. It's really crazy.
Well, you're multi-hyphenate, and you have many, many talents. But do you have a couple other favorite authors in addition to Bukowski? I know you and me and Robert Bruce share that passion also. He's so great.
So for like a biographical, I guess she's a blogger and she's also has two books. The second one I'm not a huge fan of, but Jenny Lawson. I'm really, really, really into Jenny Lawson. And her first book is absolutely brilliant. But the second book I actually couldn't read all the way through because I had read lots of it because it was really rehashed from the blog. Mm-hmm. And then one of my all-time favorites, I would think, would be Paulo Coelho. I've read every single thing he's ever written. It's not all of it's really super good, but I think that's what I like about him, is that because I think that's how I see myself, that I'm not the kind of person that'll sit around and wait for 10 years to write another book, waiting for the perfect spark. I like to get things out as they are and as I am at the time. Yeah. I really feel that with him. Like each book isn't always amazing, but there's like kind of gold within each book, but the whole thing is kind of wrapped in, not that it's unnecessary, it's just it's not all perfect words and sentences, which I really appreciate.
Well, you've run up against so many great quotes by so many kind of impressive entrepreneurs and authors. Do you have a favorite quote kind of hanging over your desk somewhere?
I think so. I think that my favorite one, and it's actually ended up in my book. And he wrote the book called Pitch Anything, which is a total business book. But it was really well written. It's got a good character to him. It was Orrin Claff. And he says that a lot of people quit when they're tired, and an entrepreneur should only quit when they're done. That pushed me through just even finishing the book. And I think that goes way beyond entrepreneurship. As I said, entrepreneurship is literally just creating something out of nothing. So whatever you are creating, don't quit when you're tired, because that's when everybody else quits. And that's when the half-written novel sits in your computer for the rest of your life and you go to your deathbed without ever releasing it. That's so like disheartening and sad and upsetting to me. We have the tools to reach the world. We should put all of it into it. And sometimes that means not sleeping. Sometimes that means not watching Netflix. Sometimes that means not hanging out with your friends. Sometimes that means just pouring your soul into your computer and then putting it out to the world. And if nobody likes it and nobody cares, that doesn't matter. At least you've done it, I think. And I think that's a really essential part, to just always quit when you're done, not when you're tired.
I like that a lot. Well, I got a couple of fun ones for you if you have time.
Absolutely.
Are you a paper or an ebook guy?
I'm going to say ebook, but I hadn't read a paper book in almost 2 years, and I was like devout, like I will never go to a Kindle, but I started picking up my daughter's a lot, and then I just had to get my own. Right. But my family bought me The Martian for Christmas, and I read it in paper and I was like, this is so nice again. It was really, really, really nice. So I'm going to stick to Kindle because I like to travel and throw out my backpack, but paper's still paper.
Nice, nice. And Mr. Weir was on the show, so.
He was, I know. That was big shoes to fill.
They're winning a lot of awards for that movie, which is pretty cool to see also. So do you have a favorite literary character of all time? It could be from TV, could be from a movie, could be from a book.
Favorite literary character of all time. Who would my favorite literary character be? I guess Henry Chinaski.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah, of course. Cool. He's a great one. Okay, so if you could choose any author from any era and time for an all-expense-paid dinner to your favorite spot, who would you take and where would you go?
Wow, you stumped me. I think Jenny Lawson would be amazing at dinner. And she's still alive, so it's going to make these powers less necessary, which is cool. And we'll probably have to go to, like, some really weird, like, barbecue place in Texas, because she's obsessed with like stuffed animals, like stuffed real animals. What are they called? They're like
taxidermy.
Yeah, so like you'd have to have like the heads and things all on the walls everywhere so that she could just tell me about all of them and freak out and give them all names and characters.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really, really, she'd be a hilarious blast. Jenny Lawson in Texas.
It sounds like the beginning of either a horror novel or a thriller murder mystery. Okay, so now that you are officially a writer, are you starting to collect any weird writer fetishes, like vintage typewriters or anything like that?
No, I'm so like in a, I don't want to say minimalist because I don't like that word really, but we sold our house 6 months ago so that we are just like, don't have to have all the stuff right now. So nice. Literally my laptop and my microphone, my drums. And we've gotten rid of a ton of books and kind of things. So I'm going to say that for weird sort of things, what is it that I've tried to do? No, I don't have any. I'm not weird. Totally perfectly normal.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I did want to ask you this in retrospect, I know that we saw Henry Rollins together at the last conference we did for Authority Rainmaker. And did you get a chance to meet him?
I did right before we headed across to the restaurant. So outside, I actually got to meet him.
Cool.
I didn't get a picture or anything, but I did shake his hand and tell him what he meant to me.
That's cool. That must have been interesting. I didn't get a chance to meet him, but I figured he kind of had his hands full.
Yeah, but he was literally the last one there. That's what he said. I'll be the last one standing. Yeah. When nobody else wants to talk to me, that's when I'll go home. That's and he cool. wasn't lying.
Well, to wrap it up, can you offer some advice to your fellow writers on how to keep the ink flowing and the cursor moving?
Yeah, just really, if you felt like me and felt like you weren't ever a writer or that you couldn't be a published best-selling author on Amazon, you absolutely can. It takes a ton of work. It takes some planning, but not more. More takes deadlines and just making sure that you don't stop until you're done. And have some people around you. Have some people around you that can either read parts of what you're writing and encourage you or give you guidance or just kind of kick you in the ass if that's what you need to keep going. Because that's what I needed, and I'm really, really, really thankful to have some friends around me that, I mean, not geographically here because of where I live, but online, and I could send stuff to them or just go to them, and they would just be like, dude, just get out of your own head, man. Just keep doing what you're doing. You have to just keep doing. You have to keep doing. And yeah. I think that's essential because we do, like, as writers working, it's a solitary thing, right? And so you get stuck in your own head and you'll start to question it because it's a long process creating something before it's done. And you start to just question the validity of it, just anything. And you just have to keep going through. So find people who will help you with that.
Nice, nice. Lock, Stock, and Barrel, Johnny Nastor. Punk rock entrepreneur. The book is Hack the Entrepreneur, How to Stop Procrastinating, Build a Business, Do Work That Matters. Thank you so much for taking time out. Best of luck and congratulations with your successes. Where can fellow scribes connect with you out there?
Hacktheentrepreneur.com, totally the best place, or Twitter. I'm at John Nastor, so JonNastor, and I'm on there way too much.
Right on. Thank you so much. And I look forward to actually seeing you probably again next year at the next conference.
Yeah. Thanks, Kelton.
All right. Take care, buddy. Thanks so much for joining me for this half of A Tour Through the Writer's Process. If you enjoy the Writer Files podcast, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review on iTunes to help other writers find us. For more episodes, or to just leave a comment or a question, you can drop by writerfiles.fm. And you can always chat with me on Twitter at Kelton Reed. Cheers. Talk to you next week.